Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Lou Gowen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, and I'm joined today once again by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Chopper Pete Quinnell. How the devil are you?
I'm doing all right, mate. I'm doing all right. I am a bit tired. I mentioned this to Ollie yesterday on the podcast. Getting a bit bored of working from home now.
Oh, no, really?
Novelty's really worn off, so...
Mate, that didn't last long.
Yeah, I just want to kind of get back in the office now. But
well, you've done 2 weeks of it, right? Like, because Ollie and I, we've only been doing it since last Friday.
Mm-hmm. But I think we started that Monday or Tuesday, I think.
That's right. Yeah, but like you and Blomps and Fakedor when like you were in the home on Monday. So yeah, man, you've had 2 whole weeks of it, and you're now done.
Now I'm just so bored of it. It's just. All I see is my bedroom and my living room, and sometimes the lake if I go for a walk. Like, it's getting to me a little bit, but it's okay. Let's talk about more positive things. I say positive. Let's talk about other things. Let's talk about wrestling things. Let's talk about SmackDown, where we're going to be talking about WWE false advertising by just continuing to promote Roman Reigns versus Goldberg, even though we all know it's not happening. Here's the show. Situation with SmackDown, with WrestleMania, with Roman Reigns, this whole scenario is absolutely bonkers. Because it was confirmed, well, I say confirmed, it was reported yesterday by both WrestleVotes and Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer, two of probably the most reputable sources in the world, that...
And Ryan Satin as well, right?
I don't know if Ryan Satin said it. I don't think he did. Just because he's kind of WWE's guy. I don't think he's announced anything official yet. But those two definitely reported that Roman Reigns has pulled out of doing WrestleMania because of health concerns, because he's had, you know, his real-life battles with leukemia. He's more at risk than a lot of other people. And, it was confirmed that he pulled out of the show. So Roman Reigns versus Goldberg wasn't happening. And the supposed reported replacement for him would be Braun Strowman, which might have been set up on this episode of SmackDown or next week or maybe at the show itself. But what was super weird about this show is that they just didn't acknowledge that whatsoever. And I mentioned this to Luke just before we went live, that it's one thing entirely to, if they found out late about Roman Reigns pulling out after this episode had been pre-taped, which I assume is the case, that they found out after this show that Roman Reigns had pulled out. If they had made the choice to pull all of the Roman Reigns-based segments on this show and just replace it with other stuff, just not reference Roman at all, and that would be kind of a quick fix just to not advertise Roman Reigns versus Goldberg, that's fine. If you're under a tight time scenario, that's perfectly okay. But to actively promote the match, it was like half of the show was about how Roman Reigns was going to be facing Goldberg at the show, which we know isn't true. They showed Roman Reigns versus Triple H from WrestleMania 32, basically in full, the one where Roman got booed a lot. Great choice, everybody. And then they had Triple H afterwards cut a promo about how great Roman Reigns and Goldberg are and how he thinks there's going to be a really close call between them. But if it's quick, it'll be Goldberg. If it's a long match, Reigns has got it. They built this show around Reigns versus Goldberg is definitely happening. Here's why you should be excited about it. When they know that Reigns isn't in the match. Is that false advertising? I feel like it is.
Yeah, because they're also, at the end of the show, they said, like, you know, here's what's coming up next week. John Cena is going to be on the show to, you know, is he going to accept Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse match? But also there's going to be a face-to-face between Roman and Goldberg. And, you know, next Friday's show is, like, it's not just the go-home show for WrestleMania. It's the day before WrestleMania. Like, it is literally, like, you know, it's 24 hours before night one of this year's very, very weird WrestleMania. And there are, like, a lot of, you know, various different circumstances at play here. WWE are dealing with a lot of stuff we're going to go into in a moment, like all the other people that are reportedly, like, not going to be on the show. But, yeah, I mean, I wasn't around yesterday. I had the day off. So I kind of, like, missed a lot of this Roman Reigns story, which is why I thought it had been reported by Saturn and Pro Wrestling Sheet. But it's, it is a very, very weird situation. So I wanted to sort of pose the question to you of, you know, is this false advertising? Or is it a case of next week we are going to get the Roman and Goldberg showdown and they'll shoot an angle there? Or maybe they already have, you know, sorted out this angle because they've taped a lot of WrestleMania already. So, you know, they've already taped this angle that's going to happen next week that's going to write Roman off the show. You know, that's going to write him off WrestleMania, and maybe that's where Braun steps in. So it's a bizarre one because I don't quite know where I stand on this one, whether I think it is false advertising to say that this match is happening when you're going to shoot an angle next week where it's not going to happen. Because I think I think it would be 100% false advertising if come WrestleMania, you're still saying that match is happening.
Mm.
And it's not going to happen. That, I think, would be bad. And I think that would be... that's totally bad. That's really out of order. But maybe, I don't know, have they already taped the match? Have they already done it? So, like, it is going to happen. But I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Was Roman at the tapings that were there this week? The reports was that he showed up. Miz wasn't well, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it all kicked off with him. So, what, did he then go home? Did he shoot all of his stuff and then go home?
Mm.
I don't really know where we stand on a lot of this.
Yeah, it's really confusing because there's so many reports floating around about various different people being pulled out or when tapings are happening and things like that. That there is definitely, though, the Orange County lockdown issue, the stay-at-home order that came into effect at midnight Thursday night going into Friday morning, which means WWE cannot film anything beyond that point, which means they have to have done all of WrestleMania, all of SmackDown, and all of the Raw, this Raw, and the Raw after WrestleMania in the bag before that date. And that is supposedly what's happened. And I think they've been bolstered by that, by the fact that they're filming in multiple different locations so they can have different crews working on different things at the same time. And they're going to have a couple of matches, probably the Firefly Funhouse match and the Boneyard match, whatever that is. That's probably going to be more cinematic style, not in the ring, on a completely different location type of deal. So they probably have managed to get all those shows taped in advance, but then it begs the question, if they've got it all taped out and planned out, why wouldn't you change some of the stuff that you've already have on this show regarding Reigns when you know what the plan is going forward for him? If you have a plan in place to write him out of the show next week, maybe, even then, I think it might be a little bit too close to it, because you're still advertising for your pay-per-view that Roman Reigns will be on it until literally 24 hours beforehand when you would write him off. I agree with you and say that if they still advertise him at WrestleMania, that's really bad. I even think if they still advertise him up to the SmackDown coming up, or, you know, even if they announced on Twitter and they said, Roman Reigns has had to pull out of this match, there will be a replacement that will be announced on this SmackDown. Like, that changes everything. Because, and the thing I don't understand about this whole situation is that they have a really good reason for plans changing. Like, just say, just acknowledge that the world is going crazy. Just acknowledge that people have to be put into quarantine. Acknowledge that people have to be pulled from the show for health of everybody, for their crew and the wrestlers and everyone around, for their own safety. They've had to be pulled, and WWE are like, no, we should do an angle. We should make with it's pro wrestling. We can't acknowledge real life.
It's too big for one night.
It is baffling, this whole situation. But something you mentioned earlier that I did want to speak about is that a load more people have supposedly been pulled from the show as well. As we mentioned before, The Miz, who supposedly turned up to a taping, I don't know whether it was a WrestleMania taping or SmackDown or whatever, he turned up and he had symptoms of coronavirus. Steve Corino, sorry. So he was sent home, but also that is supposedly the reason why Roman Reigns pulled out of WrestleMania, because he had now been exposed to someone who already had symptoms and he's at a much higher chance of having a more severe strain of it due to his, what's the term I'm looking for? Immuno something or other. It's...
Hey, dude, I'm not a doctor.
I know.
So I'm afraid I do not know.
It was in the news the other day. I can't remember. but he's got... he is at a much higher chance of having something serious due to his previous battles with leukemia. So he pulled out because Miz turned up ill, and supposedly that's gotten Miz in some hot water from people like the Usos, who turned up and be like, why are you here? You moron. Go away. And, you know, WWE, rightfully so, have placed really high restrictions on when people come in to record. They're taking their temperatures and they're monitoring people separately throughout the whole thing. They were monitoring Reigns really closely in the lead up to these tapings. So, but still, Miz turning up, it's just not a great idea, man.
Yeah, if that is a story that turns out to be true, that is not a good look on The Miz. That's, I think that goes one step too far beyond on the you show up for work, you know, we're going to get through this together, because that feels pretty reckless.
Yeah.
I say pretty, it's incredibly reckless. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if that story is true, that is not a good look on The Miz.
Absolutely,
really,
yeah.
Really is not. And it kind of puts this whole big question mark over this entire show, because the main event of this show was the Usos versus the New Day, as we pretty much predicted last week. Mm-hmm. Miz and Morrison got involved, gets turned into a triple threat tag match for Mania. Not only that's a bloody ladder match for whatever reason. WWE officials told Michael Cole, doing big bunny ears for podcast listeners, that it's now a ladder match for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have they already taped that match? This is unprecedented.
Yeah.
You know, these are truly unprecedented times of I having to Scooby-Doo what's going on. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, me and Pete are going to talk about in the outro, which we've already recorded, you know, the sort of the live stream of what we're going to do. Are we going to do our live reactions for WrestleMania? I'm going to assume we are. But we haven't really talked about it. I don't know.
But
everything is up in the air.
What even is going to be WrestleMania this year? I don't know. Exactly. Will we be able to live react to it? I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's bonkers. But yeah, so Miz supposedly has been taken out of WrestleMania, which would take him out of that triple threat ladder match that was set up on this show, which I don't know whether that one's false advertising or not. I don't know how late in the day these people found out about various things. I don't know whether this was already, you know, in the bag. And especially for this as well, it's much harder to kind of can this kind of segment as a whole. You can't just kind of get rid of this whole segment. It was the main event of the show. It's a lot of live in-ring action. It's a lot of, you know, the whole story around that show was Michael Cole getting on the thing and saying it's a triple threat ladder match, blah, 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 blah. So you can't really just can that whole segment and replace it with like a promo package or something. I mean, you could, but it's harder to do. Whereas the Roman Reigns stuff, which was just video packages and a Triple H promo, I feel like that could have been changed to something else, but you know, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, so The Miz supposedly taken out. Roman Reigns is obviously missing it. We've had Rey Mysterio and Dana Brooke have gone into quarantine as well. So Dana Brooke taken out of her women's championship match. It's now a Fatal 5-Way.
Which was talked about on the show.
That was correctly advertised.
Yeah, I mean, they're very much skirted around it. Bailey just went, it's now a Fatal 5-Way. Moving on, here's Tamina.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But they at least acknowledge that it's a fatal five-way now, and they're not still advertising Dana Brooke. There was Andrade, US champion Andrade, who was supposed to tag with Angel Garza to take on the Street Profits for the Raw Tag Team titles, which was already a weird match. He's now been taken out of WrestleMania, though supposedly that's due to a rib injury that he picked up on Raw rather than any sort of virus-related things. Bobby Lashley, who had a match against Aleister Black, which was already weird, apparently he can't compete either and he's had to pull out, which is really strange because he never could have competed anyway because he had a WWE appearance in South Africa not too long ago and they weren't allowing anyone near WWE stuff if they've been traveling abroad lately, which is why so many people have been missing so many shows because they've all been abroad. So why would they even put him in a match?
That's so weird.
I don't understand anything that's happening anymore.
Yeah.
And then there was also I forgot to mention the replacement for Andrade in that tag team match, teaming with Angel Garza to take on the Street Profits is, you know, Austin Theory from NXT.
Hey, dude, he's there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're there, mate. So you get your WrestleMania debut, I guess.
Yeah, just plaster it over with whoever we can find, please. Everyone's dropping like flies. We just need people. We need bodies on this show. And also, Buddy Murphy has supposedly been withdrawn as well. I don't know if he was going to have a proper match or whether he was just going to kind of be in the corner with Seth Rollins against Kevin Owens or something like that. I don't know, but
that's what I'd have figured.
Yeah, but he won't be able to do that anyway because he's not going to be on the show at all. So that's a lot of people that are starting to kind of be, you know, pulled out of various shows, and they're just plastering over these holes with just random other people and just trying to fill in all the holes, but then more holes appear, and then they keep trying to fill those as well. This is going to be a crazy WrestleMania. This is going to be the most unique WrestleMania in history. Like,
this is
crazy.
One for the history books.
Yeah.
This really is one for the history books. This would be one that we look back on in 10, 20 years' time being like, man, do you remember that WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, the Steve Corino WrestleMania that was in front of no fans. It is going to be, yeah. So to kind of get us back onto this central question of, is this false advertising? For me, it really depends on what comes next week. What happens next week? What happens at WrestleMania? We don't know what's already been taped. We don't know what has been happening. We don't really know a lot of these details. We have just heard rumblings. We've heard reports. Granted, a lot of the reports that we have heard have all been pretty much spot on. Mm. You know, it's because it's a very skeletal crew and it's, you know, just people talking and stuff, like the John Cena Firefly Funhouse thing, you know, the Firefly Funhouse match that was reported weeks ago. So it's, for me, it comes down to what happens at WrestleMania. Then it turns into, is that false advertising? Or I think it's weird that they just sort of ignore the situation. But it's, for me, the false advertising thing comes down to what happens at Mania. Like, it's not like I think it was last year's Rumble where they were advertising to the day that John Cena was going to be in the Rumble.
Yeah.
And then on the pre-show said, by the way, John Cena's not in the Rumble. And they knew he was never going to be in the Rumble. That, for me, that's bad. Like, that is blatantly false advertising.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait and see what happens at mm-hmm. Mania. I'm going to get called a WWE shill for this, ironically, because I got called an AEW shill on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see what happens come Mania.
Yes, I think it's probably best to err on the side of caution, err on the side of positivity in times like these, and we'll give them the benefit of the doubt for now.
Happens.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Kicked off with Sasha Banks and Bayley coming out, and as we mentioned before, they correctly advertise a fatal five-way for the SmackDown Women's Championship now. And Bayley says, oh, that Paige making that match last week? She didn't? Did she? No authority figures.
Yeah. Because so last week, Paige said that Fox allowed her to
announce
her,
the
right?
match. She didn't make it, yeah. She announced the match.
No. But then Bayley here was making it sound like Paige did make the match. Mm. And I think like she's doing a lot of stuff on social media about this. It really feels like they're building to a Paige in-ring return.
Mm.
Like this, all of this feels like it's building to Bayley versus Paige. And if this isn't leading to Bayley versus Paige, then a lot of this is worthless.
Absolutely.
Because that, to me, at the moment, feels like that's what the feud is. The feud is not about Bayley and Banks. It's not about Bayley and Lacey. It's not about Bayley and Naomi or, you know, Bayley and Tamina. It's about Bayley and Paige.
Mm.
So it has to be leading to that, surely.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they had a Paige in-ring return penciled in for WrestleMania, but now Paige can't make it. That's another person that refused to kind of travel to get to WrestleMania is Paige. So maybe they had that in-ring return planned and now they've just kind of gone, we'll move that later and we'll just kind of have this weird authority figure but not storyline play out for now. But after that, she was saying that Bayley was saying that her and Banks are like peanut butter and jelly and nothing can tear them apart. Isn't that right, Sasha? And Sasha's like, and then before she could actually say anything, though, Lacey Evans comes out and Sasha Banks says something about her daughter. And Lacey Evans is like, you won't be able to say my daughter's name after I break your jaw. I was like, oh, that's a cool line.
That's a good line.
And then Naomi came out, made a Scott Pilgrim reference. And then Tamina came out.
I've written in my notes, ha ha, here comes Tamina. she says, actions speak louder than words. She attacks Lacey and Naomi. Bayley and Banks look scared of her. That was quite laughable.
I did like the fact that they were like, hey, Lacey, Naomi, go out, cut a one-liner. It'll be really cool. Tamina's just like, why don't you just go out there and headbutt someone? That's better. Mm. Play to your strengths.
That's it, yeah. I think, you know, because to me, like, Michael Cole was calling her the wild card of the match. Like, this whole segment really felt like it was designed, like, you know, aside from the Paige stuff, really felt like it was designed to make Tamina seem like a credible threat.
Yeah.
Because, let's be honest, she doesn't seem like a credible
she's
threat.
She's not, yeah.
She is only in this match because Carmella can't make it. Like, that is pretty much the only reason she's there. So it is like, it's so laughable that Tamina is in this match and to be considered a... And this is why wins and losses matter. This is why I do like AEW having a record of things, you know, having a win-loss record.
Oh, AEW, sure.
Whether, you know... Well, you know, he does pay me the big bucks. with this current currency, and, you know, the conversion rate is really knackering me over. It's... Because it then means something. Like, you know, you get some wins and that gets you into championship matches. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the AEW win-loss record system is perfect. It's, you know, it's pretty flawed in places. But at least it's got a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, here it's just like, and you're available. So you get a tag team. You know, you get a women's championship match. Austin Theory, you're available. Mm-hmm. You get a tag title match for whatever reason. So this segment really felt like, you know, the latter half of it was, hey, Tamina is a credible threat. She could possibly win the title, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She won't, but, you know, the possibility is there.
Yeah,
I liked Evans and Naomi cutting their one-liners. They were good. Tamina, it was fine. It was a solid segment overall. It was all right. Played up the dissension between Banks and Bayley a little bit as well, which was nice.
I've got Bayley to win that match.
I've got Banks to win it, but not by pinning Bayley. She'll win by pinning someone else, and then Bayley will be like, now you're the... but I didn't lose. What the hell, man? Etc. And it'll play up that dissension more. After that, we got my second favorite thing on the show. Drew Gulak and Daniel Bryan are amazing. I love them so much. Sami Zayn on commentary is brilliant. What a fantastic, like, mix of awesomeness this whole thing is. It was Drew Gulak versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Drew Gulak versus Shinsuke Nakamura, and if Drew wins, then Daniel Bryan gets to face Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
Yet somehow makes sense.
I loved it, and I thought this didn't. I really enjoyed this, particularly because this had, you know, one sort of central spot to it, and that was at the start of the match when Gulak was in control. Cesaro pulled Nakamura out of the ring, and that allowed Nakamura to get the heat, and he beat up Drew for ages. All the while, Sami Zayn is on commentary yelling, "It's perfectly within the rules to do that. That's a perfectly legal thing to do." So at the end of the match, when Shinsuke Nakamura is setting up to do the Kinshasa, Daniel Bryan pulls Drew Gulak out of the way so Gulak can roll up Nakamura and get the pin, all the while Sami Zayn is on commentary saying, "That's cheating, that's not fair." It's just great heel work from Sami. I thought the match made complete sense. I thought the action in-ring was really, really good. I thought this was awesome.
Yeah,
I absolutely loved all of this.
Yeah, I really like this segment. I don't know how they're making it make sense, but they are. It's really, really good. Sami Zayn on commentary was absolute gold. I'm not a huge fan of the fact that people can get involved in the matches and it's fine because it's the person they're in the corner of. Like, that's still a DQ. You're still getting involved in the match. That should be a DQ, really, but it's fine. I'll gloss over it because the rest of the segment's so bloody good. So yeah, I thought it was great. And then we're going to get Daniel Bryan versus Sami Zayn at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental title, supposedly.
That'd be a great match.
If that even happens, who knows at this point.
Maybe that won't. Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? We get a recap of the Otis stuff from last week, which was just amazing.
Breaking.
I love Otis so much.
So good.
And then Dolph Ziggler's backstage muttering to himself while on the phone. I thought he was doing like a video call to someone, but I think he was just talking to himself and saying that Otis was an idiot or something.
He was making a voice memo.
Yeah, exactly. And then Otis comes in looking all, you know, full of piss and vinegar. And the referees are trying to separate him and Dolph immediately. He comes in with referees already pushing him back. And they kind of get into a verbal war. And then Dolph says, "Fine, we'll have a match at WrestleMania. Just you and me. One-on-one." And I was like, cool. That's the match that I really wanted. Dolph versus Otis one-on-one. Great. Bit anticlimactic to just have it in a little backstage segment with no physicality. And with Dolph just going, "It's a match!" Rather than, you know, with the amount of emotion and story that's gone into this story from, you know, Valentine's Day, or even before that, from, like, the Christmas stuff when it was Otis and Mandy together to start with, the amount of emotion and story that's been put into it, for them to just go, backstage segment is how you announce the match, I thought was a bit anticlimactic, but I'm happy they made the match regardless. Fingers crossed it actually happens.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you on that one. It was an anticlimactic way to announce the match, but I'm just super stoked that we're getting that singles match. I'm really looking forward to it. I just think that Otis is great. The Dolph stuff I thought was really good, and the segment he has later with Mandy I thought was really good as well. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. After that, Elias is up in the crow's nest perch thing, and he sings a song about King Corbin. It's not very funny. And then King Corbin comes out afterwards, attacks him, he gets him over the railings, and then he hits Elias off it, and he falls and goes splat onto the concrete floor, and because of camera trickery, they made it look like Elias just fell straight onto the concrete, when in reality he clearly landed on a crash mat, and then they just cut to a different shot of him lying on the concrete floor. So I will say, positive things first, it's cool that they're trying new things when they don't have fans and they're trying new ways to format their shows. They did it last week with the Miz and Morrison dirt sheet stuff when they cut to Miz and Morrison in the crowd. And this one, they're trying a few editing tricks to make it look like things are more impactful than they were. That's cool. However, when the sound that you use for Elias hitting the floor is that bad, it undermined the whole segment. It was really bad.
I have seen student films with zero budgets that have done this effect much more successfully.
Yeah.
And like the cuts were dead awkward. This was amateur hour for me.
Totally.
Considering how good WWE's production is, I thought this was really quite badly put together.
Totally.
So I'll assume then that we're going to have Elias written out of the match and he'll be replaced by Mojo Jojo with Gronk in the corner. Or maybe it'll be against Gronk himself.
Oh, yeah, that's not a bad idea. I say not a bad idea, not a bad shout. It's a bad idea. It's a very bad idea. But it's not a bad prediction.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, no, definitely don't do it. But that's a good prediction. I didn't even think about that. I was thinking that they might just do whoever's there. You know, they'll have, I don't know, Kona Reeves. Throw him in. Why not?
Why not, Cody? You're there, Tesco's finest. You can get in there, mate. Yeah, I've got to think that it's Mojo.
Yeah,
like, you know, he was involved in the angle last week. It's got to be Mojo or you know, the Gronk.
Yeah, it makes sense. Something that I didn't even think about that Ollie's written in his review earlier was saying when you know, Michael Cole put on his serious voice to say, "Oh, Elias has been taken to a local medical facility." It's not very good taste to have someone go to a hospital in times like these. Just maybe don't run that angle. Just throwing that out there. Yeah.
I didn't think about that at all.
And then when Ollie put it in the script, I was like, oh yeah. Ooh. Yeah, it's not good. But after that, though, we got Asuka versus Alexa Bliss with Nikki Cross on commentary. So I have mixed feelings about this because the match itself, I can't really tell you what happened because Nikki Cross was so distracting on commentary. And there was a few times where it got a genuine laugh out of me because Nikki Cross was just going crazy, just like screaming random things. She just kept pestering Michael Cole. Michael Cole was just there just being like, can you stop hitting me, please? There was a couple of times where I was just like, oh, that's quite good. But it was really detracted from the match because I cannot tell you what happened at all.
I've got literally no notes on the match itself, but all my notes are about Nikki on commentary. Mm-hmm. When Nikki got Michael Cole to chant Lexi, that really made me laugh.
It was very good.
Because Michael Cole did it so deadpan, going,
Lexi.
It was really, really funny.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. It did detract from the match. And, you know, Alexa just won clean as a sheet in the middle of the ring with the DDT.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, remember when Asuka was Becky's biggest threat? Like, it's just 1 month later, or, you know, just a couple of months later, they've made her feel like absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And it's a real shame. A real, real shame.
It is. Massive shame. Like I said, there was a couple funny bits. There's one bit that I really liked when Nikki first came out. She hugged Michael Cole, and Cole just goes, social distancing, Nikki. Cole had a couple good moments in this match, which is really funny. But overall, I would not have done it because it really took away from the match. And like you said, Bliss just winning clean was a bit pants. After that, we get a quick backstage promo from the Usos, hyping up their main event match with the New Day. Then we get Roman Reigns versus Triple H at WrestleMania 32.
That's a boring match.
It's a boring match, and it's long, and the crowd are not into it. This was like peak Roman Reigns hate from the fans.
Mm.
They really, really did not want to see him win here, especially because at the Royal Rumble when it went down, it was obviously they were fighting for Roman Reigns' WWE Championship at the Royal Rumble that year. Reigns got in the last three, then got eliminated by Triple H, and then it was Triple H versus Dean Ambrose was the final two, and everyone was like, oh my god, we want this match! And then they had that match at, like, Elimination Chamber or Fastlane or whatever it was, and they had Triple H versus Dean Ambrose, and it was a bit pants, and everyone was like, and we're still getting Roman at Mania, and no one really wanted it anymore, especially because it was so close to having the thing that people really, really wanted, which was the Dean Ambrose thing, and then they just, they did not want to see that match at all. It was bad.
Yeah,
bad times.
It's a boring match, and I think, if I remember correctly, that's quite a boring Mania as well, because that's got this Shane Undertaker Hell in a Cell match,
absolutely,
I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I can't remember. I think, is that the one where Zack Ryder wins the Intercontinental Championship in a ladder match?
That's
and everyone was like, what? Why? Yeah. Why did Zach win? Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of good matches on there. I say, there's a couple of, like, big moments on there. There's Shane jumping off the cell, but it was part of a boring match. There was Zack Ryder winning the Intercontinental title, which was just like, huh? Kind of moment. There was the women's triple threat was very good. The Charlotte Lynch match, which crowned the women's champion rather than the Divas champion, was good. Was probably the best thing on the show. Yeah, but it was just a really long, long, long show that was then just capped off with Reigns Triple H that no one wanted to see. So it was a bad time.
It's also the one, if I remember correctly, where The Rock like lights his name on fire for what felt like half an hour.
That's the one. Yeah.
And then beat Rowan in the quickest WrestleMania match of
which
history.
Which doesn't make
like
sense.
2 seconds.
Because you need 3 seconds to get the count, but sure, whatever.
And he doesn't move and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, God, man, what a mania. Mm. I hope that comes up in WrestleTalk Extra at some point. In a way where like I don't really want to rewatch it, but I'm kind of curious to rewatch it in sort of like a sort of a self-deprecating sense.
So can someone just take that as proof, and then when WrestleMania 32 comes up as WrestleTalk Extra, can someone play that back to Luke, and then he'll be like, what was I thinking? This is a really boring show.
Hey man, it can't be any more boring than WrestleMania 2010, which we've just done, which is out on Monday for Patreon backers. Good lord, that's a boring show. That's a bland old WrestleMania.
At least you got Undertaker Michaels.
Well, yay. Yeah, exactly. You got a cracking main event, a really good Cena Batista match, but everything else on that show is just all shades of bland, apart from Vince and Bret, which is just
bad.
It's the worst WrestleMania match in history.
After that, we got a Triple H promo hyping both Roman Reigns and Goldberg, which obviously it's not happening anymore, but sure. We get a New Day promo backstage hyping the main event. We get a recap of Cena and Fiend, and then we get a backstage promo with Dolph Ziggler and Sonya Deville. And they're saying, oh, everything is coming together, everything that we've planned. I knew it! I knew Sonya was the one behind it all, you witch! I knew it. I knew it! And I'm really excited for this whole story to come out, and then Mandy to just be like, you guys suck. Otis is great.
Yeah.
He got bullied. You're all bad. Otis is great. Otis and Mandy, yay, everybody's happy. That's what I want.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm completely very happy with this segment. Mandy comes in and says, oh, hey, can I speak to Dolph for a minute? Sonya, Thanos is away. And Mandy speaks to Dolph and she says, why are you doing this to Otis? And then he was just like, oh, you know, he stood you up on Valentine's Day. I'm standing up for you. And she goes, yeah, but you didn't have to show him the pictures and all that stuff. And like, look, if you want to fight Otis at WrestleMania, that's fine. I'll support you. But you're not going to fight over me like some sort of prize. And I'm like, women's evolution, progression. This is great.
Yeah. I thought this was a really good segment. Yeah. I really enjoyed all of this.
No, it's very good. Yeah, liked it overall. Still plays on the story. It's really simple storytelling, but it's the best. Speaking of not simple storytelling, oh boy, Firefly Funhouse was next. Oh, this is my favorite thing on the show.
This is so good. It's amazing stuff.
I thought this was a masterpiece of a Firefly Funhouse. I said that wrong, but it's fine. And it really kind of conjured those emotions that I felt on the first lot of the Firefly Funhouse segments when I was like, I cannot wait to see what happens next week. And every time I watched, I was like, this is genius. This is perfect. The first time the Fiend character was introduced, I got those feelings again from this Firefly Funhouse segment because I thought it was brilliant. It starts off with Bray standing back to the camera, crying, looking at a picture of Cena beating him at WrestleMania 30. And he just kind of turns around and wipes his eyes. And he's like, oh, hey, didn't see you there. Today we're going to talk about... And then he gets cut off by hearing these kind of whispering voices, and he kind of grabs the back of his head, and he's like, shut up, shut up. And then you see the lantern that he's got of the old Bray Wyatt's head, and he starts talking to it, screams at them to shut up. And he said, you had your chance, and you blew it against John Cena. You failed. And then Abby the Witch pipes in and just says that he was delusional then and he's still delusional now. Does he think he suddenly has the secret recipe to defeat John Cena? And he goes, actually, yes, I do. And it cuts away to this thing of Bray's Let Me In segment or whatever the hell it is. And he starts blending up all these ingredients to make the perfect recipe for John Cena, filled with self-loathing and disappointment and hot sauce. and also rage and resentment. And then Ramblin' Rabbit comes in with a carrot, and then he's just like, oh, you should use this to help you see John Cena. And he's like, oh, that's a great idea. Throws the carrot away and just goes, just kidding. Picks up Ramblin' Rabbit and says, oh, this was the last ingredient we needed, irrelevant opinions. And then put it in the blender, blends it all up and has the drink, does like a proper ad for it. He's like, hey, I'm WWE superstar Bray Wyatt, and when I'm doing this, I need my drink and whatever else he said. Starts drinking some of that. And he says, it tastes great, but it has a nasty side effect. And it's the Fiend cutting in and out, and then it cuts to black. And in that as well, he challenged John Cena to a Firefly Funhouse match where anything goes. Welcome to my world. Anything happens, etc. And we're getting a response from that. We're getting a John Cena response to that next week, supposedly. God, I love this segment so much. This was brilliant.
You hit the nail on the head when you said that this made you think of, like, the old, you know, I say the old, you know, they're less than a year old at this point, but, like, last year's Firefly Funhouse, those early days of the Firefly Funhouse where we were like, oh my God, this is creatively brilliant, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do for next week's Firefly Funhouse. I got all of that again. And it's, you know, this feud got off to a bad start because it was just the Fiend pointing at a sign and it was totally lame, particularly because John Cena was like, I'm not having a match. Okay, you did a point. And then, you know, they have, but I think they've quite cleverly retrofitted the bad decision to have Cena beat him at WrestleMania 30 to become the catalyst for this story, mm-hmm. you know, for this story to happen at WrestleMania 36. But this segment really did make me want to see the match. And, you know, as we exclusively reported the other day on the WrestleTalk news and on WrestleTalk.com, it is going to be a very, very weird and wacky match that we kind of fantasy booked a little bit, which was, you know, it's going to have Bray Wyatt and it's going to have The Fiend. I'm really looking forward to seeing what this is. But if this has got a lot of Bray's influence, you know, and Bray has sort of like, you know, doing a lot of this with Cena and kind of working this out together, I think this could be absolutely fantastic watching.
Mm-hmm.
I think this could be,
sorry, go ahead.
No, it's because I think this could be like one of the best things at WrestleMania this year.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the match I'm most excited for. It's the match I'm most like curious to see how it's gonna look and how it's gonna be. Is it gonna be like mm-hmm. the proper WWE version of, you know, the Final Deletion before they did, you know, not the Ultimate Deletion, that doesn't count, but like their kind of version of that kind of kooky cinematic wacky experience that's not the House of Horrors, because that also doesn't count. But yeah, I'm so pumped for this, and I've seen a report saying that this kind of match is just Bray's baby. And generally speaking, when Bray has done something that he's put his full creative control over, it's been perfect. That's where the whole Fiend came from. He's been overseeing everything to do with the Fiend. When we had on our Explained series, it's just gone up on Parts of Unknown, which please watch. It's great.
So good.
So good. When we interviewed Carl Scarborough, who was the guy who did the original sketches for the Fiend Mask and stuff like that, he was saying, and there's loads of other reports of people that have worked with Bray Wyatt saying that Bray's a genius when it comes to this stuff, and you come to him with an idea and he'll come back at you with eight more, like, on top of it. He's just so in tune with how everything works. And on top of that, another report I saw said that Cena was really championing Wyatt's ideas and getting them to be like, please listen to Bray, this is all great. So, fingers crossed, it's going to be brilliant. But
if there's one man that can get through to Vince McMahon and make him listen, it's John Cena.
Absolutely.
Like, John Cena is that guy. If you can get John Cena championing you and backing you, that should lead to good things for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be great. I still think Cena is winning, but I think it's going to be great.
I don't know. I don't know.
Cena wins here, then Fiend beats him in the rematch. Like, they did exactly the same. You know, that's what they did with the Bray Wyatt-John Cena feud at WrestleMania 30. We'll just get that again.
Time is a flat circle. anyway, after that, which was amazing. We then had the main event of the show, which was the New Day versus the Usos with Miz and Morrison on commentary. I thought this match was great. I thought it was really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Really solid in-ring action. Miz and Morrison were okay on commentary, did their normal heel shtick. It was fine. Couple bits where I was like, huh, that's good. But I think something that Ms. Morrison did do really well, actually, is putting over both teams rather than running them down. They were saying these two teams are legitimately amazing. Like, they're some of the best in the world. Just unfortunate that we're better. But instead of just being like, they're bad, we're good, they did a very good job of putting both teams over and getting people to care about why it should be a good match, whoever wins. There was actually one bit where they had a really cool response to Michael Cole. Michael Cole was saying, well, you know, the New Day are 7-time tag team champions, the Usos are 6-time tag team champions, and you are... And the Miz just goes, the tag team champions, and that's all you need to know. And I was like, that's actually a really good response. I love it. But yeah, they do a really good job of that. There was really fun in-ring action. They start spilling to the outside. Miz and Morrison get a bit too cocky. They get up on the announce table and start, you know, chanting over them and doing the Miz and Morrison hey hey ho ho thing, which I still don't get properly, but sure, whatever. And then Kingston kind of snaps it. He takes out Morrison's legs from under him. One of the Usos takes out the Miz. They keep brawling for a little bit before Miz and Morrison get back up, cause the DQ, and then Michael Cole comes on the microphone and says, I'm being told by WWE officials that it's going to be a triple threat ladder match at WrestleMania, which we know isn't going to happen anymore because Miz has been taken out of it, so...
Unless it's already been taped.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I genuinely don't know what's going to happen. It was a fun ending segment. It was a cool build to WrestleMania, if that match does happen, which it probably won't. Overall, I thought this was a pretty good show. I thought almost all the Mania build was good. I thought it was an odd choice to have Triple H versus Roman Reigns, but you know, whatever. I thought the Firefly Funhouse was brilliant. I thought it was a real throwback to the original Funhouse segments. Otis versus Dolph, yes please. I'm into the women's stuff. I'm really into the Bayley-Sasha Banks dynamic, and it should be a fun match at the very least. All these people in there are quite talented, and Tamina. And Brian versus Sammy. I mean... I love that stuff. But Brian and Gulak are brilliant. Sami Zayn's fantastic. Cesaro and Shinsuke are really good wrestlers as well. So, yeah, I gave the show, bearing in mind it's a performance center show and they're running with quite tight restrictions and people have been pulling out left, right, and center, I gave it a low 4 or 5. 4 out of 5 with everything considered. I was torn between high 3, low 4, but I think it just pushed it into low 4 with it being a performance center show, tight restrictions, etc.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I thought it was a pretty good show. Mm-hmm. I loved the Firefly Funhouse stuff. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. The wrestling was solid throughout the show. Was not a fan of Asuka just losing clean as a sheet. I think that really damages her. Main event was pretty good. Loved all the Gulak Bryan stuff with Sami Zayn. Yeah, I thought this was a solid show leading into WrestleMania. Like, it was solid build to this very wacky and bizarre WrestleMania. Yeah. A thumbs up from me.
It's going to be weird. So I asked this of Ollie yesterday. I'm assuming your answer might be a bit more positive. How are you finding working from home?
Oh, mate, I love it. I've got my little setup here. I've got my desk. I mean, I'm in a very fortunate position in that my office is able to be locked away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I am done with the workday, I just shut the door to my office and I can go sit in the living room. And I very much have still managed to separate out my work and life.
Yeah.
I'm up in the morning at 6:30. Me and my wife are doing yoga together. We're having breakfast together. I'm getting to do my work sort of in the morning. I'm doing my what I'm calling my commute work.
Okay.
Which is where I'm editing my own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing like that I would have had as my commute time. Then I'm just working throughout the day, and then I finish, I shut everything down, I leave my office, I shut the door, and I go and hang out with my wife for the evening, and we just sit down and we have dinner together, and we just start the whole day over. So I'm doing okay. Like, I'm quite enjoying it.
Yeah. It's a shame because I miss seeing people in the office. It's nice to hang out with people, and I'm missing that.
That is the sad part of this, is not being part of the office again.
Yeah, and it's like little things. It's like, you know, when we sit next to each other in the office. And it would be little things if one of us would just lean over to the other and be like, you seen this thing that's happened on the old interwebs? Look at this thing, it's funny. Like, it's little things like that. I'm just like, oh man, like, we have a Discord chat. It's not quite the same, but you know. Anyway,
I do look forward to our half 10 like morning calls where we all get together and just have a little bit of a chat. That's very lovely.
See, I'm supposed to have a day off on Monday, but I think I'm still going to join that call just to just check in, you know, see everyone again. How's everyone doing? Looking forward to once this is all blown over and we can go back to work.
It's kind of amazing as well, because like this self-isolation thing has sort of like, I mean, I think I'm talking to my family more than
yeah,
I have
totally.
Done previously. I've been talking to my in-laws like a lot more. We arranged like a big, it was my wife's birthday yesterday, so we had like a big like Google Hangout thing with my in-laws. And then like me and my wife had dinner together, and then, you know, like an hour later, all of our friends got together to do a big pub quiz.
Nice.
So there were like sort of, you know, eight couples all doing this pub quiz. We did horribly in the quiz, came last.
Oof, mate.
Yeah, I know. Well, we had a bit of like, so there was seven rounds, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Get this. I mean, I'm going to talk about this a bit more with Ollie on the Raw review, but I think this is mad. There were possibly 175 points at stake.
What?
That's too much for a quiz.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's way too much.
Because the final round had, there were 10 questions within that round, and you had 30 seconds to name 10 things. So you had a potential to get 10 points per sort of question. So there were 100 points at stake. And if you got an incorrect answer, like if you wrote something down that was wrong, then you lost a point for that round. So if you wrote down 6 correct answers and 1 incorrect, you'd get 5 for that round.
Right.
Me and my wife did very, very bad in that round. And I don't think it was helped by the fact that we had been drinking all day.
Because it was probably got something to do with it.
I had the day off. It was a 2.5 hour quiz. By the end of it, I'd had quite a lot of wine.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came to like, you know, it was name as many, well, name 10 prime ministers from the 20th century. I could only think of the last 4.
Yeah.
And Churchill. That was about all I could think of.
That's amazing. Yeah, I had something similar yesterday. Just a load of my friends got together on a voice call. And I played Minecraft for the first time ever.
What? Are you 8?
Apparently, yeah. but one of my friends, who is a DM for our group of friends as well, he likes to kind of take control. It's always like, he's like, oh yeah, guys, I'll organize this thing. He's always very much kind of the one to step up and be like, I'll organize everything, don't worry. It was like when we had our friends' Christmas together, he was like, I'll organize a quiz for everyone, don't worry, guys. And for this one, he was like, I'll set up a Minecraft server. And he all built us all a little plot of land and with like little items in each chest and stuff. And it was like, have fun. So we all went in this like group game together. We all had a couple of drinks and it was actually really fun, especially because there were a few people in the group who had never played Minecraft before, including me. So it was an experiment. It was really fun just to kind of kick back a little bit and just play a bit of Minecraft, because why not? It was very good. I see why people enjoy it a lot.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was nice. I do have an email here, which I wanted to read out, because as we spoke about on the SmackDown podcast last week, we were like, we just don't get the Gronk. And maybe that's just an American thing. Maybe it's just we don't get it because we haven't seen his career in the NFL or whatever it may be. But we've got an email here from Austin Tussey to put our minds at rest. He says, hey guys, not sure if Andy will be back next week or not, but anyways, on to Gronk. He's a big deal for American football. He was a part of the New England Patriots, which seemed to win every year. He was one of the best players until he retired. That being said, he is not a beloved American figure. He's loved by Patriots fans, but the Patriots are the team that literally everybody else hates. I'm sure there are soccer teams that are the same way, that people are just tired of hearing and seeing win. I know it's called football in every other country, just didn't want to confuse the email talking about both sports. So just imagine one of the top players in one of those soccer teams that everybody hates, except for their fans, coming to WWE. That's how Gronk is viewed by Americans. Hope this helps to understand where he stands in the eyes of Americans, Austin Tussey. Well, thank
you. Yeah, thank you very much for that email. Ollie and I, actually, I think we talked about that email on the Raw review, I think. Anyway, I can't quite remember now. It's been a week.
Oh, we sent it to you as well.
So I think we did do that one. But it is, I just find it a very fascinating subject because he appears to be a very divisive figure. Mm. Because you and I talked about him on the show last week. Ollie and I talked about him on the Raw review because they did a big recap. And I was curious to see what Ollie's thoughts was. And he was like, oh no, he is a knob.
Yeah.
And but it's, there are those people that are just like, no, he's playing a character. He's not really like that. He's just this sort of party boy persona. And then when he's doing interviews and stuff, he's not that guy. And then there are other people that are just like, no, he is like this all the time. He's just a knob. And then there are other people that are just like, no, people don't like him because he plays for the Patriots. And mm-hmm. he's a very, very fascinating character in American. And I don't think we have a sports person like that in the UK.
I think the closest person that I can think of would be someone like Conor McGregor, who is like really kind of over the top, in your face, and some people love the charisma that he displays, but some people think he's just an arrogant a-hole, and he just gets into a load of trouble by himself, and he's just a lad, and I think he's quite divisive in that sense, and obviously his athletic ability is undeniable, same probably as the Gronk, you know, one of the best NFL players, but... Yeah, I think that's the closest thing I can think of off the top of my head would probably be someone like that. Maybe,
yeah.
Yeah.
I had an email that I was going to quickly read out. This comes in from Matt Field, who says, I've heard a lot of people going back and rewatching old pay-per-views to keep themselves entertained during all this self-isolation, so I'll be doing the same thing. What I've done is insert the name of all the top WWE pay-per-views, the four main shows, plus TLC and Money in the Bank, into a random generator. Then input all the years between 2010 and 2019 into another. The first one I got was WrestleMania 2010, which weirdly enough is the show you guys will be reviewing on the Wrestle Talk Extra podcast. Hope you guys are keeping safe during this difficult period. Thanks for all the hard work you're putting in to make sure we all get the content. Regards, Matt Field. So if anyone is sort of wondering how to put on to sort of get through the self-isolation and try and keep yourself sane, there's a suggestion from Matt Field. Do it as a random generator.
That is a really, really fun idea. I love that. That's a really great idea. And you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to randomize my own one. And I'm going to see what one I'm going to get. I'm just typing in the names of things. Survivor Series and what's the other one? What's the other big four? My God, my brain.
SummerSlam?
Royal Rumble. How can I forget that? Come on, Pete.
It was 2 months ago.
Money in the Bank. And what else did you say? TLC?
TLC, yeah. I'm not sure if I'd consider that one like the major shows.
No, but, nor would I. You know, I would just do Big Four and Money in the Bank, personally. But, okay, so let's randomize that. What did I get? I got Money in the Bank. Okay.
Okay.
And let's do some years.
Okay. 2011.
Imagine. 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. What have we got? 2019. So Money in the Bank last year, where Brock Lesnar won. Great.
Well, I think I would probably do another randomizer.
Yeah, I'll re-randomize that one. Yeah, I'll get another.
I've changed my mind on this. I think it's a stupid idea.
It's a dumb idea. No one should do it. Just pick shows you like. God. But thank you for that suggestion, Matt Field. That is very fun. So yeah, please do go do that and get better shows than I did.
But, you know, we're all in luck here in the UK anyway, because today is the day that Brooklyn Nine-Nine Season 6 is on Netflix in the UK.
Oh, yes! I'm going to be watching that later.
That's what me and my wife are going to do today as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Can't wait for that. I haven't seen anything that happens, surprisingly, because I follow quite a lot of the cast members on Twitter and stuff like that. Somehow, some way, I have not seen anything that happens in the next two seasons. Don't know how, but I'm just a genius, I guess.
Okay, weird flex, but okay.
Anyway, that's probably all the time we've got for this week of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Luke, we've got a special episode coming out on Monday from the Wrestle Talk Extra Archives. Do you know what episode we are the lovely people are getting?
I actually haven't decided yet. Mm. I think it's going to be one of the ones that people really enjoyed was ECW December to Dismember, because it's a very, very bad show, and it's bad for multiple reasons. But it's also kind of fascinating to look back in hindsight. You know, it was the show that got Paul Heyman fired. So that, I think I might... What I'm trying to pick is sort of like the very historically significant ones, as opposed to releasing, I don't know, like we did a TNA one. I think we did like TNA Destination X 20-something. And I don't think I'd probably release something like that into the free feed. But doing something like ECW December to Dismember, I think, is quite a significant pay-per-view. If it's not that, I might do Bad Blood 97, because that was the first Hell in a Cell match.
Well, that's good.
And it's got, I think that's also got Kane's debut match on it as
well.
Yeah,
it would be. Yeah, if it was first Hell in a Cell,
Oh, no, it's not. It's where Kane debuted. It's not his debut match. His debut match was at Survivor Series.
That's right, yeah.
There it is, which has also been in the free feed. I get those two shows so muddled up. I don't know why. Because it's all, you know, you've got the Montreal Screwjob and you've got the death of Brian Pillman.
Yeah.
So, and you've got like Kane's debut and you've got Hell in a Cell. And there's like all these really big things that happen in this very small period of time. And I keep getting them all mixed up. But yeah, so it'll likely be that. But keep an eye on the, keep an eye on the free feed to find out what it's going to be.
Yeah, so that will be in your feeds on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be back for the Raw review with Luke and Ollie and maybe NXT, possibly, if there's a big show, which there probably should be because we've got the Triple Threat North American title match on NXT next week. So that'll be a big one. And AEW and then SmackDown and then WrestleMania the Monday after, I guess, with doing live reactions maybe.
I think we're still going to do live reactions to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be honest, we've not really decided.
No, I think
we still will do, but we haven't put it into practice. We haven't like written out a plan yet of like, or you know, a rota of what's going to happen.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure that we are going to be doing live reactions to it.
I would place money on it. Yeah, unless WrestleMania gets cancelled, there's still time. There's still time for it to
there's
be postponed.
Still time. Maybe that's what we're holding out for.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, everyone. We've got lots more content coming your ways. Thank you very much for sticking around and being with us during this troubling time. Hopefully we can put a smile on your face and make you a bit more happy. Anyway, we'll see you guys soon. Thank you for listening. I love you all. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.